Today's scripture is from Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up, and he went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All of the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made when she was with them. Peter put all of them outside. Then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling to the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you all pray with me? Loving God, we are now going to meditate on the word that we heard from Shannon. Lord God, may those words sink into our hearts as we hear your word sink into our souls. Lord, be with this preacher at this time. May my words be your words. Amen. Well, I want to welcome you to the second in our message series. It's all about this wonderfully powerful, unique book in the New Testament, which is the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And it's a sequel to the Gospel of Luke, written by the same author, and it is an action-packed account of the early church. It begins with the ascension of Jesus into heaven and the coming of the Holy Spirit on the Pentecost celebration, all the way to the heart of the Roman Empire, right in Rome, as the message reaches them, the message of Jesus reaches them through Paul. It is a powerful story. And the way that Luke tells this story of the early church, well, he utilizes two primary people, two primary apostles, two primary church leaders, and that is Peter and Paul. Now, we learned all about Paul last week, and we actually got Paul's origin story, and we learned about how he went from a great persecutor of Jesus' followers to actually being the greatest friend of Jesus and proclaiming his message. And we know that because over half of the New Testament, 14 books, 14 letters, are attributed to Paul. And what we learned last week was that with Paul, that when you make a connection with Jesus, that Jesus calls you. Jesus calls you then to go out into the world and make a connection with others as you make a connection with God so that the world might be changed. That's what we learn from Paul. Today we are going to shift gears and we are going to be talking about Peter. But just like last week, we learned that when we talk about Paul or we talk about Peter, it's not just about them. There are other followers of Jesus that are very important that we lift up. And of course, we lift up the awesomeness of Jesus Christ. So let's dig in. First thing that I want to remind us all of is that when Jesus connects with you, you are changed. You are transformed. In fact, that's the only constant in our relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is change. We are always changed. We saw that again when we saw the story of Saul of Tarsus, who was converted to being Paul, the apostle. And today, when we talk about Peter, we see that Peter didn't have a short conversion time like Saul of Tarsus did. You all remember Saul of Tarsus was knocked on his booty, blinded by the light, on the dusty road to Damascus. Peter, on the other hand, was much slower. He was a follower of Jesus Christ. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ. When Jesus walked this earth, when Jesus taught, when Jesus preached, when Jesus healed, when he embodied the kingdom of heaven, Peter was there. He was a simple fisherman, but then Jesus called him, right? He made a connection with Peter. He called him to be a fisher of people. And Peter did. And for 3 years, it was amazing. And then Jesus was arrested, and Jesus was tried, and Jesus was tortured, and Jesus was put to death. And Peter, just like all the other disciples, bravely ran away and hid. Now, after 3 days, Jesus did exactly what Jesus said he was going to do. He rose from the dead, resurrected. It was amazing. Can I hear a hallelujah? Hallelujah, Jesus was alive, and Jesus appeared before the disciples. And what we learn from Luke in the book of Acts is that Jesus was with them. The resurrected Christ was with them for 40 days. That's a long time to you and me. 40 days, he is with them still. And just saying, I'm alive and I love you. And then he ascends into heaven. What an amazing thing to have seen, right? And then Peter and the other followers kept on bravely hiding from the authorities. And then the Holy Spirit came. During a celebration of an agricultural festival of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, and then the conversion really began for Peter and the other followers there. Peter's heart was set so much on fire that he preached his very first message. The simple fisherman preached this message to a large crowd, and what happens? 3,000 people become convinced that Jesus is the Messiah, and they turn their lives to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And Peter and the other followers, they start spreading the news about Jesus in the city of Jerusalem. That's where the early church began. And then they began to branch out a little bit. And Peter goes and he shares good news. Peter goes and he heals people. Peter goes and he gets in trouble with the authority. Sounds like a Jesus kind of life to me. And then we come to our scripture today, where we hear that Jesus is here, there, and everywhere with other believers of Jesus. See, Peter happened to show up in a little town of Lydda, which is about a little less than 50 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And he's hanging out with the believers there. And while he's there, he runs into a man called Aeneas. And Aeneas is a great follower of Jesus, but he can't do anything because he's paralyzed. He's lying there in bed. 8 years, can you imagine? All the people that cared for him, turned him over, changed his bed sheets, changed his bed sores, all those different things because he couldn't move. And so what does Peter do? Well, he looks at Aeneas and he says, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed. The kid in me says, make my bed. Get up and make my bed. Make your bed. And Aeneas does. He gets up and he makes his bed. But Aeneas does more than that. He goes out and he shares good news. Because now the news starts spreading throughout Lydda and their neighboring town of Sharon. And the news propagates and more people come to believe in Jesus. And soon the news spreads all the way another 10 miles northwest of Lydda to the town of Joppa. This good news about Peter and what he's doing in the name of Jesus in Lydda. And then two men are sent with a frantic message. Peter, come at once, for a dear friend of ours has died. So Peter got up and went. And who is this dear friend who has died? Who is it that had died and yet they still sent two people to search out Peter? What were they expecting? This person was dead. But this person was amazing and made an impact on lives. And her name was Tabitha, which in Aramaic means gazelle, as in she was beautiful as a gazelle, as in her spirit was lovely like a gazelle. And in Greek, she was known as Dorcas. So a few things about Tabitha, a.k.a. Dorcas. She was Matarea. She was a female disciple of Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? You don't seem all that impressed. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, big whoop-de-doo. There were a lot of women that followed Jesus. There were a lot of women that were disciples of Jesus. And you know you are right. But she's the only one that's named a female disciple of Jesus. Matarea is only used right then. I'm thinking that means Luke is really trying to tell us something. She is the only named disciple of Jesus because something is going on in this Jesus community that they're still calling the way. Something is going on that is turning this world upside down, this world where, let's face it, men were kind of the higher status in just about every organization, in just about every book of history. Women were a little bit more submissive, but not in this Jesus community. All of a sudden, there's a female disciple who is important. And as the Apostle Paul will later say, in Jesus, there is no male or female. Tabitha, a.k.a. Dorcas, is important. She is a Matarea. Remember that. A female disciple of Jesus. And how did she live out the discipleship? Well, she devoted her life to good works and to acts of charity. It's not really extraordinary, is it? For all we know, she never preaches a sermon that converts 3,000 people to Jesus. For all we know, she's never given sight to the blind or caused the lame to walk. For all we know, she hasn't brought anybody back to life. For all we know, what she's done is she's devoted her life to good works and to acts of charity. Nothing flashy, right? And yet she changed the world. She changed the world all around her. Did you notice that in those brief words, those tersest of words that we heard in the account? Did you hear the agony of the people that were around her? Those that loved her washed her body in preparation for burial. Those who loved her believed that something could happen, so they sent two men to go after Peter 10 miles away to come. Those who loved her were there to welcome Peter and to say, look, look what Dorcas, that's how they knew her. Look what she did for us. And who were these women? Well, they were the widows. They were one of the least of society. Widows who had to often live by scraping to get by. You know, there's a theory that perhaps Tabitha, a.k.a. Dorcas, was a widow herself. But whether she was or not, she was someone who cared for them. She was a sister for them. She took great care of them, and their world changed, and now they didn't know what was going to happen. This is what we know about her. She changed her world, and now they didn't know what was going to happen. Now, when I think about the love of Tabitha, a.k.a. Dorcas, and I think about just how she cared for these people and how they mourned her because of her untimely loss and because of all that she had done for them. You know what I think? I think she had a unique calling. She was their mom. And not just any mom. She was a good mom. One of the best. Because a good mom is one who cares for other people, who who nurtures other people, who offers unconditional love. A good mom is one who wants to make the world better for those around them. It's not about biology, folks. A good mom isn't just somebody who's a biological mother, just like a good dad isn't somebody who's a biological father. Anyone can be a mom, or want to be a mom, but being a good mom is a calling. Because it ain't easy, is it? All of you moms and grandmas out there, am I wrong? It's a calling. It's a calling to care and nurture for people no matter what. And often you are called to be a mother, a mom to everyone. You have to straddle the fence. That's why she has two names, friends. She was mother to her people, Tabitha, to those who followed the Lord, the Jews, and those that were God's people. And she was Dorcas to the Greeks that were around her. She served everyone. She didn't care. And so she was known as Tabitha, and she was known as Dorcas. And she changed her world. And friends, today on this Mother's Day, I want to lift up the calling that is to be a good mom. The calling which is to nurture, the calling which is to care, the calling which is to care for those around you, and the calling which is to change the world around you. And it's my prayer today that some of you might claim that call. This past week, I posed a question out on Facebook, and it was sort of a reflection of last week. I said, you know, when you have a Jesus encounter, when you have a Jesus connection like Saul of Tarsus did on the road to Damascus, then it's more than a conversion, then you are called. And I asked the question, what does Jesus call you to do or call you to be? And I received some wonderful answers, and I appreciated all who answered, but I also reflected on answers that I didn't receive, which were more non-answers than answers. And I prayed about that. And then I thought, well, maybe we're not used to that. We're not used to being asked what our call is. Maybe we think that when we find Jesus, what we're supposed to do is go to church for an hour on Sunday and that's it. You know it's not, right? You know that Jesus changes your life, and it's a lifestyle change. Everything that you do. So guess what? We're all called. But I can understand where the question, it wasn't my intent, but I can understand where it would be intimidating or perplexing. I remember when I definitely wouldn't be able to answer that question. But I want to challenge you to answer that question. Because most of you can. I look out in this room and I look out and I see all these good moms. All these moms that are out here who love their children. Even if they're their kid or not, they love their children, their grandchildren, their nieces, their nephew. And I see how you are living out that call by sharing love and making that world a better place for them. This is how churches grow, by the way. If we're wondering, well, why isn't the church growing? Well, it's because people aren't claiming the call to be a good mom or a good dad. And that doesn't mean that they're having tons of kids. What it means is that all of us are called to be a mom or a dad. That is an element of call that you can claim. If I was to come up to you and say, well, how are you called? You could say, well, I'm called to be a good mom. And you know how tough it is to be a good mom. You know that sometimes you're rejected as a good mom. Sometimes you have to go through hell to make the world heaven for those that you love. But you honor that call anyway, because that's how Jesus calls you. So, church, I would ask that everyone here would honor their claim that Jesus has on your life to be a good mom and to be a good dad. I'll talk more about that in June. But to be a good parent. Because this is how the world transforms. This is what Tabitha, aka Dorcas, did for her world. And this is what we are called to do. Now, Peter went to Joppa. He went in. The widows there said, look how our world has changed because our mom was with us. And they were mourning. He put them out of the room. They mourned for Dorcas. And then Peter turned and said, Tabitha, get up. Just like he did Ananias. Just like Jesus did with Saul of Tarsus flat on his booty in the dusty road. Get up! And Tabitha, aka Dorcas, got up. And that community had their mom for at least a little while longer. And they were blessed. People in this sanctuary, get up. Seriously, get up. Those of you at home, get up. I see some of you aren't getting up. Get off the couch. Get up as you're able. You are called. You are called to share your love out in this world. This is who Dorcas was. Remember I said it's not just about Peter, is it? He's the one that was there. He's the one who said the words. But Jesus Christ heals. Jesus Christ brings to life. And Jesus Christ calls. You are called. God bless you, good mamas out there. God bless you, good papas out there. God bless you all who are part of Jesus' love to change this world. Amen.